You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey. As many of us, having lost jobs or finding ourselves working remotely, are spending larger amounts of time in our homes, should we have the privilege of stable housing, many are looking to garden amidst the new parameters of daily life. Whether as a hobby or seeking food security in uncertain times, or some combination of reasons, many more residencies are planting food. To talk more about home gardening and the effects of coronavirus on small independent businesses, I'm joined by one of the instructors of the online gardening school offered by Wild Abundance just outside of Asheville. Chloe Lieberman, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So I wonder, first, could you introduce a little more what Wild Abundance is and then how the coronavirus has affected operations this season?
Yes, definitely. So Wild Abundance is a school based just north of Asheville at a homestead campus. So it's a school and also a home to founder and director and lead instructor Natalie Bogwalker, my dear friend and colleague. And we teach in-person hands-on classes, or we have taught in-person hands-on classes for over a decade at our homestead campus in things like permaculture and gardening and natural building, wildcrafting, medicine making, hide tanning and rewilding and survival skills. So a whole host of skills, hands-on skills that are in the realm of and geared toward connecting people with the natural world and also supporting people and communities on the path towards empowerment and resilience.
Thinking, you know, there's many changes or potential challenges going from like a rural outdoor trade to now one where maybe a lot of students wouldn't be able to come out. What's that change been like?
Yeah, it's been very hard. And also, we have fortunately been able to find some ways that it's opened up some doors for us and pushed us to grow in ways that we've wanted to, but we haven't prioritized yet. So yeah, we haven't run any in-person classes yet in 2020. And we have been sort of juggling, as I'm sure many, many small businesses have, you know, whether to postpone them, whether to refund students, whether to reschedule them, whether to cancel them altogether because there's so much uncertainty. And, you know, that's our main income. That's mostly what we do, is run these in-person hands-on classes in an outdoor setting. And that's been really challenging, both logistically and honestly emotionally, just like wanting to show up to support our students and make really, really appropriate choices and generous choices, and also try to stay afloat as a business, which, you know, if we refunded everybody and just canceled all the classes, then our business would be done. So fortunately, we had already developed one online class a couple years ago. We created an online hide tanning class, and it was a huge production and ended up being not as much of a financial success as we were hoping. It's just such a niche market, I think, folks who want to make their own brain tan buckskin out of deer hides using all natural methods. But the sort of silver lining of that is that we had already developed the skills for producing and hosting and marketing online classes. And so that's quickly where our minds went in the face of this dilemma. I was like, wow, that's what people can still do, and we still want to reach people. And then coupled with that was this influx on our social media platforms and through email, and just for us as individuals in our community and friend circles, of people being interested in gardening and growing food. It was kind of like when we first developed the idea, came up with the idea of the online gardening school, we sort of jokingly called it, "Oh, I need to grow a garden," because so many people were basically communicating that message to us. They're like, oh my God, like, you've been doing this for a while. I need your help, because what if we can't go to the grocery store? What if the farmer's market closes down? I need to eat. And like you said, you know, a lot of people are at home more, and so they want to be putting more energy and can be putting more energy into projects at home. So we made that quick pivot, and it's been a huge amount of work, but it's also been pretty successful. It's been really awesome to see how many people we're reaching and to get an influx of income into the business to kind of bridge the gap in this uncertain time. And yeah, we've been able to give away a ton of scholarships, which feels really good. And just, yeah, the feedback on the program has been incredible. So we're feeling very grateful.
So you mentioned previously you had attempted an online class, a very specific one around tanning. I'm curious how, like, what your new classes are looking like.
Yeah, so the high tanning class is a very, like I said, a very niche market. It's a very specific skill, and not everybody even knows that that's a thing, you know, to turn an animal hide into all natural, soft, beautiful buckskin, which, you know, if you're listening and you're like, what is that? I encourage you to look it up because it is pretty incredible and an amazing process. But the gardening school is like, everybody knows that gardening is a thing, you know, and so it's definitely the content more than the context that has led to, you know, some success in our online programs at this point. So there has been a little bit more interest in hide tanning, but hide tanning is also a seasonal thing. So typically you can get hides in the fall when it's hunting season. So we haven't been putting it out there so much because it's hard to get deer hides right now this time of year. But we are developing some other shorter online classes. So the online gardening school is like this full-on comprehensive. We've gotten a ton of feedback from students that they're like, whoa, there is so much information here. It's almost, nobody said too much, but it's like, it's a lot to digest. And it's a bunch of foundational videos and then monthly videos, lessons on how to tend different crops and infrastructural things in the garden, weeds, including edible weeds. It sort of brings together our gardening background and also our interest and love of permaculture and just connecting with the natural world. And then we have these weekly, they're going to shift to monthly at some point, but in the springtime, weekly Q&A calls where students really get mentorship. Like, they get to ask questions and we share from our experience, we get to have a little bit of a dialogue. So it's a totally different thing, and there's definitely been more interest in that. And then we're working on some shorter classes. So one is on spring wild foods, one is on fermentation, lacto-fermentation, making your own sauerkraut and vegetable pickles. We're just finalizing one on animal husbandry that I was the main teacher for, like raising chickens and ducks for eggs and goats and cows for milk. So, yeah, we'll be curious to see what kind of interest there is in those shorter classes. But gardening is just, it's just so universal. You know, everybody understands the concept of planting a seed and growing a tomato, for example. That's so accessible to everybody. And yeah, there's just a lot of energy around that right now because people have gone to the grocery store and seen empty shelves, and that's really scary. And we're just really grateful to be able to step in there and say, yes, that's scary, and here's something that you can do to take that into your own hands in a way that isn't like reactionary and fear-based, but is really positive and hopeful and life-serving. So that's where we're coming from, and there's been a great response to that.
Who would you say this is for? Do you need to have like a rural piece of land to access this class?
Definitely not. You know, in fact, just before our talk right here, I was doing some emailing and reaching out to some guest instructors whose specific interest is gardening in small spaces. And we've filmed a whole set of videos on container gardening, choosing containers and growing mediums in containers. And a lot of our students are growing their gardens in containers or in small suburban backyards and situations like that. So it's definitely not a requirement to have a huge piece of land, but the beauty of the program is that there's so much information there, and both Natalie and I do have a fair amount of space to work with. We have more of like a small farm situation here, and I have about a third of an acre of ground in vegetables, plus the ducks and the goats and the chickens and things like that. So students can navigate through the program and take what is applicable to their situation, and then have, you know, students get lifetime access, which we felt really was really important to us, so that if someone starts out with, you know, a couple 5-gallon buckets on their patio and they really love it and they end up making choices in their lives that move them into having more space to work with, or like get involved with a community garden, or you know, an empty lot or something like that, then they'll have the tools to it can grow with them. But it's definitely not just for people with large areas to work with.
Hmm. So even if someone is like a first-time gardener and they're suddenly exposed to tons of new information, they would still have access in future seasons to slowly build on the skills they pull.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, having more information than folks are going to utilize in any given season, you know, we really encourage people not to get overwhelmed and just to, like, take it in as inspiration, you know, like, oh, wow, this is even possible. And part of our motivation for this program is, you know, I don't believe that every single person should or obviously could grow all of their own food. You know, that is something that some people really want to prioritize and are able to and have the privilege of things like land ownership and access to land in order to do. But I do think that everybody could and should get in touch with what it takes to grow food. Because even if you end up growing a couple of tomato plants, like I said, in 5-gallon buckets on your patio, then that experience not only connects you with the natural world and the cycle of life and like, oh, wow, this is how long it takes to get from a seed to a tomato I can eat. And these are the kinds of things that those tomato plants have to deal with pest-wise. And, this, you know, just getting that experience, I think, is really beneficial. And also having an awareness of our food system so that for folks who aren't ever going to get to the large-scale kind of gardening situation, having some guidance on looking at the experience of gardening, not just as a way to produce food, but as a way to connect with the food system and then have a greater understanding and a deeper respect for the farms and farmers that do produce massive amounts of food that fill all of our bellies. I think that's sort of like a subtext of our whole program is really raising awareness about the food system as a whole.
Mm. As the virus has compromised income stability even more than before, do you find are most students from like upper class backgrounds, or are there opportunities for multiple socioeconomic viewers to participate? I heard you mention scholarships, for example.
Yeah, that was super important to us in starting out with this. You know, we were like, okay, there's a crisis going on, and we want to save our business and our livelihoods, but we also don't want to just scramble to reproduce the economic systems that we see playing into a lot of the devastation that's taking place as a result of the virus right now. So we've given away about 60 scholarships, and we have 300 students total, just to give a portion of the total students. That's a pretty significant number of scholarship recipients, and those are full scholarship recipients. And this first year during the pandemic, we are offering the program on a pretty wide sliding scale that's available without any application. It's available to anybody who feels that they need that, all the way up to those who are in a more privileged socioeconomic position and can give so that we have the resources to continue producing and offering things below our cost to those folks who need that.
Albeit well into the 2020 season, for listeners interested in gardening, do you have any thoughts for a June gardener who maybe is just thinking about it at this point?
Absolutely. So one of my great loves is actually fall gardening. And if you didn't know that that was a thing, in this region, in Southern Appalachia, you start planting things for fall gardening in mid-July. And so if you're just starting out now in June and you're literally just beginning, then there's a lot you can do to prepare the ground. If you're gardening in containers, gathering all your materials, gathering seeds, deciding on what you want to grow, planning out that. And if you're gardening in the ground, you know, either digging beds or if you want to do some kind of lasagna gardening, mulching situation, layering organic material on beds to prepare the ground so that when you plant seeds in July through August and into September and even October with garlic and things like that, that you have everything ready for that fall season. And honestly, in this region, gardening in the fall has a lot of advantages. It's in some ways, it's easier than gardening in the spring and summer because we have so many pests here. So having a fall garden is cool because you take advantage of the warm temperatures we have now to germinate seeds and grow baby plants that just grow really quickly. And then as they mature, as it gets cold, the pests really are reduced. And so you don't have to deal with as many pests. If you are starting right now and you have already your space prepared, you'd like to plant some seeds in the ground right now in June, it's not too late to transplant. So if you can get plant starts, and I've seen that a lot of local garden stores like Reeves Creek Nursery up here in Weaverville, and I'm sure there's others around Asheville and probably at farmers markets, you can still get starts. It's not too late to plant things like cucumbers and zucchinis, green beans, it's on the edge, tomatoes if you have a good size transplant. You can also direct seed things like dill and cilantro and lettuce. Eggplants you could transplant, peppers, sweet potatoes. It's not too late to plant sweet potato slips. So, yeah, you definitely haven't missed the boat if you didn't get in an early spring garden. But it's just a matter of choosing things that are going to do well in the hot weather and planning so that you can plant things for cool weather a little bit later on when so that they'll mature once the weather has cooled down.
So for listeners interested in learning more, whether it's about helping their current garden, starting a garden right now, or planning for the fall, where can people learn more?
Yeah, so our website is the easiest way to get in touch with all of the things that we're offering, and that is wildabundance.net. We're also active on social media on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you just search Wild Abundance, you'll find us. And we are, I have been sort of slacking on writing blog articles, but I'm hoping to get back into that soon. I've just been doing a lot of filming and work for the garden school. But we are actually going to release sometime later in June a class on fall gardening. So if you sign up for our newsletter or follow us on social media, you'll be sure to see that when it comes out. And then, yeah, we have a lot of free resources on our blog. And then, of course, you can check out our classes on our website, too.
I've been speaking with Chloe Lieberman, one of the instructors of the online gardening school offered by Wild Abundance. Chloe, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.